All right, everybody, welcome into the Sunday Night Live Stream. I'm Bobby Burton, your host, joined by Rod Babers and CJ Vogel. You guys doing tonight? Longhorns playing host to seven official visitors over the weekend. CJ Vogel, you were out there on Friday, then you were at another place on Saturday for a camp where the Longhorns offered a 2026 prospect or 2027 prospect. And then CJ, you and Jerry Hamilton were out at the airport today interviewing guys as they were leaving. I'm going to start with you before we get to anything else. What's the latest on the recruiting weekend for the Longhorns?
Yeah, I thought Texas did a really fine job this week. Of course, it was the first weekend of official visits this month of June. There were seven prospects on campus. And, I mean, getting to talk to a few of them today, Bobby, we got an idea of where Texas kind of made some moves, specifically with Michael Terry. I thought Texas made a great move in that recruitment. There were conversations about whether or not he would play on offense or defense at the next level. Certainly a big topic in his recruitment because you never know where schools are recruiting him at the moment. He wants to play on the offensive side of the ball. Folks in his camp understand that, hey, the quickest path to the field might be on the opposite side as well. So they made a big move there. Steve Sarkisian's really getting involved with Michael Terry in that recruitment as well. Worth mentioning there. But then again, Javian Hilson, the Florida State edge commit out of Florida. Texas, right up there in his top two right now. It's going to be Texas and Florida State for him. It'll be Texas and Florida State for Myron Charles as well. Javian Hilson was able to really experience campus life, see the city, get an idea of what Texas football is all about. He was in town with his mother and his sister his first time down at Texas, and his mom actually told Jerry she wants his son to end up at the University of Texas. So I thought, based off of the conversations that we had today and with some of the recruits after their official visits, that Texas made some really, really good moves at a couple of key positions. Of course, who knows where Michael Terry might end up. He could end up at one of five positions potentially at the next level. But edge and defensive line with Josiah Sharma also coming in, Myron Charles from Florida, and, of course, Javian Hilson at the edge position. I thought Texas did a fine job there, as well as getting to new kinds. The Decaney wide receiver on campus this weekend as well. That was a bit of a surprise coming into the weekend. He was not originally on the list. Was a late add Thursday evening, pops up Friday night, and obviously just got back home as well to Houston. Texas probably in that top spot right now for him. He'll be at Notre Dame later in the month. So that'll be the two schools to look out for Tanuk Hines moving forward, which is, we'll talk about this later on, but with Kelshon Johnson visiting Texas A&M this weekend, if Texas is looking to take a third or a fourth wide receiver in this class, that's probably where they'll go, one of the two in that direction. Right now, Texas A&M feels really comfortable and confident after that visit with Kelshon Johnson today. Of course, he will be at Texas later in the month as well. But overall, really positive steps in a number of key recruitments for the Longhorns this weekend. And, of course, it's a good first outing for the Longhorns in terms of these official visitors because the month doesn't slow down at any point moving forward the next 2 weeks with 18 and 20 official visitors coming in over the next 14 days.
Hey, CJ, we've got other notes to give folks on Caleb Edwards, the big tight end out of California. Jerry caught up with him at the airport. Josiah Sharma, the big defensive tackle. Texas apparently, according to Jerry, really moved the needle there. We already talked about Tanuk Hines. Caleb Chester, another guy the Longhorns have prioritized from the outset out of Fort Bend Marshall, a cornerback. Rod, you've taken a look at him and really liked what you've seen. There's a bunch of other news we need to get to. But first, let's go back to Javian Hilson, CJ. You talked about him. Here he is earlier today at the airport. I'm not sure if it was you or Jerry behind the camera, but he talked to several reporters at one time. This is Javian Hilson, an edge prospect out of Cocoa, Florida.
Just talk about the visit, man. What stood out? What were the highlights for you?
Culture, like the state of all state was nice. Getting to meet Coach PK, the players, they all treated me like family. It was nice being up in Georgia.
What was kind of the message from the coaches when you're talking with them?
It was basically like how they would use me in their scheme, and like basically how the players move around. They was like trying to compare me to, like, with Colin Simmons and stuff, like how they have them playing like the X, have them rushing the passer and dropping the coverage, and they say like they use me like that.
Who's your player host?
CJ, I forgot his name. I think he went to Edgewater. I forgot it. The running back.
Edgewater. Baxter.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. It was cool. It was cool hanging out with him. Like, he took me around the city and stuff. Went to a warehouse. got to be Lamborghini and stuff. It was nice.
Yeah. Talk about that, because that was one of the big talking points from the weekend, the walk into the facility, the Lamborghinis all out there. I mean, what'd you think of that?
No, it was crazy. Like, it was a crazy atmosphere. Like, I ain't never seen nothing like that. Like, Texas is big. Like, when they say Texas, like, big, you know, Texas is big. Like, compared to Florida, it's like, it's nice.
Do they have any, like, kind of plan different than Florida State? Like, I mean, like, are they telling you anything different than Florida State in terms of how they want to use you in their defense? Or?
So, basically, like, so Florida State, they see me, like, as a true defensive end, like, not dropping at all. Like, Texas here, they see me like an athlete, like, use me, like, as a jet, cover, you know, you rush the passes, like, on, like, third down or something like that.
What do you think about that? I mean, do you prefer showing some versatility? Does it matter?
It really don't matter. I do that at high school level. Like, sometimes they have me drop into the flat, have me as a linebacker, have me getting up field rushing the passer. It's comfortable to me. I'm doing it in high school, so it really don't matter.
How did this visit compare to Florida last weekend?
This visit is, like, it's definitely nice. Like, obviously, it's a big city compared to Florida, but it's nice. Like, see, here's, like, welcoming, and, like, Florida, it's kind of wasn't like that, but I love it. Like, it's, like, we easy fit in.
What do you think about the big city and Austin in itself?
It's nice. A lot of good people here. It's just, the building's big, everything big. You're looking up, I'm like, dang, everything's nice.
You have UCF and Florida State, right? And then when do you want to kind of have things finalized or let all the coaches know, like, hey, I'm doing this?
So, like, I was just talking about that. So, like, the last visit, like, my Florida State visit, I'm comparing this visit to Florida State, and then after that, I'm just going to shut it down after that.
Is it down to Florida State and Texas?
Yes, sir.
Okay. So, Florida, are you still going to go to UCF? Or?
Yeah, I'm going to UCF next week. Yeah. Yes, sir.
What would Texas have to do to ultimately win you over and win out in this race?
Basically, like, see how they do this season.
But when do you want to decide, though? You want to decide?
Like, I say, like the end of, like, my senior year.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Okay. So you're gonna take those other visits and then just kind of take some time.
Yes, sir.
Just to make sure we're quoting right, it's a Florida State Texas race for you right now.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
And Texas kind of opened my eyes after this visit. Yeah, opened my eyes.
Okay.
So you know Brandon Brown a little bit, right?
Yes, sir.
Do y'all talk?
We talk a little bit. Actually, we're the same. California Power Camp.
What has he told you about Texas?
No, he was like the money. That's basically pretty much it.
What does Texas show you this weekend? If you just put it in words, and a little bit you did already, but what did they show you that has them on kind of equal footing with Florida State and ahead of Florida?
Right, so like they, like the producer, like how they produce like NFL players, like in my position, like Florida State got a lot, and here at Texas, they definitely got a lot, and it's just like I can easily fit in here, and I like the scheme that they run. It's just simple.
Good stuff there from Javion Hilson at the airport earlier today. Edge prospect out of Cocoa, Florida, guys. We got a bunch of stuff going on tonight. We're going to get to more recruiting news. We passed 50,000 in the subscription total on Texas Football YouTube channel. I also want to talk about the Lambos out at DKR this weekend. That seemed get some people on fire across the country a little bit. But first, I want to say thank you to our sponsor. That is Joe Brown. Joe has more than three decades of experience helping more than 4,000 families to finance homes and investment properties. That's right, 4,000 folks. Joe is a lifelong Longhorn fan with 2 degrees from the University of Texas and has helped many former UT athletes, professors, and more with their real estate financing. Joe's a proud U.S. Navy veteran as well, and is committed to serving his fellow vets with no down payment VA loans up to $2 million. Southside Bank has been based in Texas for more than 60 years, but can also do mortgage loans in most other states. Southside Bank has a new type of construction loan that also allows a simple modification if rates are lower after your new home is built, which saves you the cost of refinancing. If you're self-employed, you may know that getting a mortgage can be more challenging than ever. That's why Joe's experience in lending to business owners can make the process that much smoother. Thanks to Joe Brown over at Southside Bank. We appreciate you very much, Joe. Hey, guys, let's take on this conversation topic that I think is it's a little hilarious to me, actually, that it's even a thing. But Texas lined up the Lambos at DKR on Saturday to welcome in recruits for Friday. I can't remember which. The video, because CJ posted it, went viral, apparently. It wasn't just CJ. Everybody posted it. But here's the take. Everybody's like, this shouldn't be what college football is about. here's my point on this, and what I'm going to say as much as anything, okay, and what I believe. It was okay whenever Oregon came out with the Hummer and built these mega complexes to house recruits in or to showcase their new facilities. It was okay when USC took recruits to the Hollywood Hills with stars, right? It was okay when you took them. Look, it's recruiting. Get a grip. That's what it is. It's called recruiting. I mean, whatever it takes. And Jerry made a good point today on it on the video that we shot this afternoon, talking about some of these recruits. Look, Steve Sarkisian's had three straight top five classes. I think he knows a little bit about recruiting and what appeals to young folks. You might want to give him a little credit. Rod, what are your thoughts on this?
I mean, I love it. I think it's great. I first of all, isn't this, like I said, I don't know if this is kind of NIL related or anything, but in the NIL era, if you're a Lamborghini, this is exactly what you wanted, right? This is why you actually want to market and advertise via NIL through college sports. If you're Lamborghini, you're like, this is beautiful. This is like the best commercial we could get. I don't know how much money they had to spend or who spent money or whatever it was, but it worked out perfect for Lamborghini. And I don't know if you want to call Texas Lambo you now or whatever, but it's, like I said, it's a win-win. Texas wins because they get to impress recruits with Lamborghini. I mean, who wouldn't be impressed with a fleet of Lamborghinis, guys? Come on now. It's a fleet of Lamborghinis. So the recruits are impressed. The Lamborghini, their brand wins because they get to get free marketing and free media. And everybody else out there who's going to hate on Texas anyway, now they even have more ammunition to hate on Texas with. I don't think some people are bringing up potentially the inequity of this, with college sports. And we talked about the separation of the have and have nots, guys. This is well within the rules. These are the new rules that you can do stuff like this. These are part of the new rules. So I'm glad Texas is maximizing every opportunity to recruit. And hey, Lambo, it ain't gonna be the last time. Says Saban owns a Ferrari dealership. Hey, I don't know if it's gonna be a Lamborghini thing every time. Hell, they might switch up the brands on you next time. It might be Bentleys and Maybachs in there. You never know. Okay.
So hey, it's just when Texas does that, it's not okay. When Nick Saban takes a recruit in his Ferrari, it is, right? I mean, it's a little bit of duplicity. In some people's parts. CJ, you had something to say there you wanted to add?
Well, isn't this the whole point of NIL, Bobby? You get involved with the program, you get involved with the player, and all of a sudden your company gets more exposure. What have we been doing the last 48 hours since this video was released, right? We've been talking about Lamborghini. We've been highlighting the company that has gone after and promoted the players and the program and everything in it. It's done its exact purpose. And I think that's exactly what it's for. No, it's not here to sit here and promise every recruit that if you come to Texas, you will end up in a Lamborghini. That's not the point of it. The point of it is you come in, you have a deal with some of these players, and you talk about the company, the cars, the flashiness. Recruits love this. We talked to Javon Hilton. We just heard it as well. I asked him. I said, hey, we saw this video make the rounds. You walked in front of all these cars. They're revving their engines as you walk through the doors. What'd you think about it? It was awesome. I loved it. And I think that was the overall theme as well. It was Josiah Sharma, who was filming the original video I posted. Loved it. We just watched Michael Terry's video earlier. What was he doing as he walked by every car? Oh, let me get a closer look at the Urus. Let me get a closer look at the Aventador. Why? Because it's a Lamborghini. You don't see those cars too often. These kids love that. And because Texas has the ties to the dealership here in Austin, whether it be Bijan Robinson, Jake Majors, who had a deal there as well, or Jordan Whittington, there is a bit of that intrigue of, yeah, maybe if I do come to Texas and I put on what I can do on the field, maybe one day I will be driving that. Because, again, that's kind of the world of NIL. You come in and you kind of make your hay, and you never know what deals might come your way. Not to rhyme, but I just did.
I completely agree with your point about, for Lamborghini, it achieved what it wants to achieve by doing this. Without question. I go back a ways. So I've seen schools pull out all stops in recruiting. I remember when Mike Bellotti at Oregon came out and his entire staff came out with Harley Davidsons at a recruiting event. Then they had a big green Hummer the next year. I've seen where, you know, they showed up at an airport in hula lays to welcome somebody at Ohio State. It's recruiting. That's what it's all about. And if you can be different, I think a lot of fans take this as strictly NIL related, but I've seen people do this sort of thing when it had nothing to do with NIL, just to showcase that the university or their coaching staff was cool. I mean, look, Auburn showing up at an Auburn coach showing up at your high school in a limo. What's the value in that? You know, it's recruiting.
Yeah,
people need to get over themselves.
It's like the helicopter was a big thing, Bobby, and taking so helicopters to go to. Remember, that was a big thing for a while.
Texas didn't pay a dime. To bring those Lamborghinis out to Austin, the dealership provided them. How much did Kevin Sumlin charge to crash a helicopter? I don't know.
Thank you, Trace. Right, I deserve a Lambo. Think about it. By my senior year, I would have worked up enough street cred and enough, you know, with the coaches, trust with the coaches. I probably would have been a Lambo guy, and that's the goal.
Could you,
like CJ said, I want to be a Lambo guy, but everybody ain't getting a Lambo when you're a freshman. That ain't happening. Maybe if you're a five-star quarterback, that happens. But yeah, man. Hopefully, you know, I get to the point where I'm all conference. I get a Lambo. Is that what it is? Hey, how do you get a Lambo? Is it all conference? What's the Lambo standard? What's the Lambo standard?
You might be pushing first team All-American if you're getting close to that. Rod, my question to you: you can't fit a car seat in a Lamborghini.
Come on. You're talking about old school Rod B. You're talking about back in my day, back in my prime. Now you damn right. Now we did get a newer car, but it ain't nothing close to a Lamborghini. It's more close to a minivan than it is a Lamborghini.
A&M had electric bicycles outside for recruits. There's that, you know, or a line scooter. There you go. Hey, CJ, I got another couple things here for us to talk about tonight. We'll have take y'all's questions as well, by the way. But I wanted to talk about something else. The baseball coach, Texas. We do not know for sure what's going to happen there. Chris Del Conte, the athletic department or the athletic director, after clinching yesterday the third athletic director's cup title in 4 years, has still yet to say anything publicly about David Pierce's job. Of course, he doesn't say things publicly a lot of times. What are we left to believe? And then we see Clemson, who we think Texas might have interest in their coach, go out today. Is it possible that we hear something more this week, CJ, as it relates to Texas baseball?
I think so. And I say that because I do think the program is a bit stuck right now under David Pierce. You know, we've seen that steady decline over the last four seasons in the win-loss column. We've not seen great results in the preseason tournaments. And I know that doesn't mean a whole lot, but when you go out and you play the LSUs, the Vanderbilts, the Mississippi States of the world, and you come back winless almost every single season in these games that are widely televised and marketed, it's not a great look. When you underachieve in the conference, you don't sweep many teams, you don't perform well in the postseason conference tournament, you go 2-1 in Arlington again, and then you come back and you have an opportunity to steal a game against Texas A&M. You squander that. You come back to fight for your lives and you put up a complete dud. It just feels like there's not much in the positive direction right now, and that's been a bit of where we've sat talking about Texas baseball over the last few seasons. And I know he's had great success. He's been to Omaha a few times. That COVID season was probably his best team. And I know that the injury luck with Tanner Wick was not great. You could talk about losing All-American pitcher midway through your tenure and saying, yeah, that probably threw a wrench in it. But at the same time, what development have we seen out of the bullpen? What number one ace have we seen emerge over the last two seasons? There just hasn't quite been that steady development across the field. And I think right now when you go into the SEC and you look across the conference at where they sit in terms of teams going to the College World Series, guys developing MLB draft picks, overall wins on a day-to-day, week-to-week basis in the conference, it's a much different looking baseball conference than what Texas is used to in the Big 12. So I do think it is time to make a move at there. Let me tell you, I was watching that Clemson Florida game, which one of the wilder college baseball games I've seen in my time. I love Bakic. Eric Bakic, tremendous. He's a feisty guy. He goes out for his players. He will fight for them, and then he'll get the crowd pumped up. I think he's a tremendous guy, what he's done at Clemson. I know they fell short of making it to the College World Series this year, but if I had a pick, he would be my number one guy right now. Of anybody in the world to come coach at the University of Texas, that's where my first call would go.
Interesting. That's Eric Bakic, Clemson University head coach. We've heard all kinds of rumors, but as yet, we've yet to hear anything official from the university as it relates to the baseball coach. I also want to say congrats to Scottie Scheffler. Yet another win this weekend. One-shot win at the Memorial. Guys, $20 million purse for that event. Scotty had the best weekend of all of us. Let's be even better than those recruits looking at Lambos. Scotty took home a cool $4 million.
Not bad.
$4 million. Holy cow! He's had quite the year. Even coming off of what happened at the PGA this year, it's just incredible the year that he's been able to put together. He remains the world's number one golfer. All right, more recruit talk to come. We've got a couple other notes and news to go over. But first, I want to play this. It is Caleb Edwards, the tight end out of California. Jerry Hamilton caught up with him briefly at the airport earlier today. Matt, our producer, is going to play it. Then we're going to get to your questions, super chats, et cetera, after this.
All right, on Texas football, four-star tight end Caleb Edwards. Your thoughts on the visit overall the weekend at Texas?
The visit was great. I mean, I think just getting to know everyone and all the staff and some of the players was wonderful. It was awesome.
What stood out? Anything that was a highlight of the visit for you?
Just seeing all the coaches' personalities and how they treat the players and other coaches and everything like that was good for me to see who I'd be around there.
Up at the tight ends at Texas, you spend time with those guys like Amari Nyblack, Gunnar Helm, anybody?
I spent time with Jordan Washington and Spencer Shannon.
Was Jordan your host?
Both of them were.
Okay. So. What did they kind of tell you about Texas? Any insight for you that you didn't know?
Not a ton. We were more talking about Coach Banks, tight end coach, so, and about his coaching style, and that's mainly what I was trying to get from them, and and then the other staff why they chose Texas. And so they're giving me some good information about that.
So what's next for you? On your way to Auburn?
Yeah, I'm on Auburn right now.
And then where do you go after that?
Then I have Alabama and Oregon, and then I'm done.
Then you're done. Do you have a date for a decision yet?
Not yet, but it should be somewhere early July. Okay. Early mid-July.
Okay. So did this visit help Texas? Because I know you've been here before in April, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Visit help Texas?
Definitely. Yeah. I think just
in
getting
what ways?
All the information about I didn't know anything about the academics or NIL or any nutrition, weight room, anything like that. So just getting all that stuff just is going to make the decision easier for me, knowing that I know everything about the program.
What do you want to major in?
I'm not sure. I'm leaning towards sports management kind of. Okay. But
last question for you. When I say Texas Longhorns, what comes to mind?
I think tradition and culture. I mean, it's been the biggest program in Texas for forever, pretty much. So, and football is the religion in Texas. So that being said, that's what comes to mind.
Football is like religion in Texas, says the tight end out of California. Hey, CJ, we're going to get to questions now. We can talk about this as much as we want. Anything you guys want to ask on this live stream on Sunday night, feel free to do so. I want to say thank you first to UT Boy. He says, family, hook him. We appreciate you, UT Boy. Thanks for the super chat. Super chats do jump to the front of the line on times like this, so feel free to get those in. Josie, Bobby, I'm going to keep asking until we get an answer. Any news on Sadir? LOL, hook him from Rapid City, South Dakota. So actually we did hear something. I'm going to let CJ do it because CJ is actually, we all went searching for a little news. CJ is the one that got it, so I'll let him take the mic here.
Yeah, the big question with Sadir is what would he look like coming into summer conditioning? Of course, the kind of the big concern in the spring was he too big? Was he a little bit overweight? The answer was yeah, and I think Sarkisian mentioned that as well. I don't think it was the smoothest of starts for Sadir and Kenny Baker. Of course, there was a bit of a strong finish into the spring season, but the word I got back is I think he is still a 5 to 10, a little bit overweight, still a little bit big on that side. So there will be some work done. Not as big as where he was, I was told, from the spring, but a little bit heavier than where Texas likes him at the moment. I think you'd like to see him in the 350s at the very least. He was 372, I believe, in the spring roster update. Get him down a little bit. Get him ready for the fall season. Get that conditioning right. Texas will use him, of course. That's a big body. That's very athletic. But Bobby, I mean, going out in the sun, Austin heat, it should do it naturally, right? Rod, you've been through these workouts. Just standing outside, you should be able to lose some weight.
Yeah.
Yes.
Shouldn't take long for him. I don't know what the ideal weight is, but the summertime, man, it's the right time to lose weight in Texas.
Exactly.
There you go. Hey, Bayrog, we going all in on Javion Hilson now that Lowe committed Hayden Lowe. Texas was not all in on Hayden Lowe. I don't know that other than Texas wanting to sign 2 to 3 edges in this class and the fact that Texas already has a commitment from Lance Jackson, I don't know that this is one precipitates another. They're recruiting these guys individually. So, no, I don't think that has a direct impact for you. Let's get another couple questions. Rod, back to that discussion we were having about the Lamborghinis. Coachy Samuel, I don't see why these losers are making a fuss about how Texas is luring in recruits by showing them expensive cars. Don't they know by now that we don't keep up with the Joneses? We are the Joneses. So, I want to take this one step further for you, Rod. Why is there a double standard when Texas does something? Because I think that's what this is. Because they directly tie it to NIL when people have been doing this sort of tactic forever. I mean, what's the difference between – I mean, I know the difference, but you talked about it the other day. They used to show – used to have pretty girls lined up at every official visit you had. Didn't matter which school.
Yeah, Aggies had to say – I forgot what theirs was called. They're the same thing. Yeah,
but my point is – it's nothing more than a recruiting pitch. People want to make it more in this day and age of NIL, I think. And I think there's a double standard about that.
Yeah, I think also when, you know, there's a belief out there, perception, honestly, the perception is reality, that Texas has more advantages than others, right? That not only do Texas, they have a war chest of resources and money, but they are in – arguably the most fertile recruiting state, and they are the marquee tech football brand in that state. And so we've heard this all the time, that, oh man, Texas should be winning more games because they have all the resources they have. So I think a lot of it is that, and that's just jealousy. I think there's just some envy and jealousy that their program can't do what Texas is doing. They can't show off like Texas does. You know, they can't, they don't have the resources to do that. They don't have the connections. They don't have the brand influence. And in a time in NIL that where branding and brand influence matters and brand association matters more than anything, you know, Texas is going to get even more, I think, advantages and resources because in the NIL world, name, image, and likeness, the brand that is Texas, it attracts big names. Arch Manning is another one. Right now you're going to combine brands on brands, Lambo. I mean, it's about people being upset because they know the tactics that Texas is utilizing are going to work. I mean, because as we talked about, it's hard to negatively recruit against Texas now. Like, I don't know the pitch. And the pitch was easy, really easy, like 5 years ago. I mean, it was simple. They don't send guys to the NFL. They don't compete for championships. You know, I mean, I don't even know why you would even want to go there. You're going to go there and disappear. Matter of fact, Garrett Wilson said that, right? He's like, nah, you go. Good players go there and they just, you know, you never hear from them again. They go to Texas, right? It's like a black hole for great players. And now that is the case. You hear players talking about, I consider Texas because of their talent development. You're like, what? And it happened in like 2 years. So talent development is not an issue anymore. neither is competing for championships. Everybody expects Texas to compete for a championship this year. NIL resources seem to be, you know, abundant. Those are plentiful, right? And everybody knows that. The academics also, I just heard the young man, Caleb Edwards, talk about it. He wanted more info on academics. It's interesting to see what all the different recruits, everybody's got something that they're tuning into. The young man that you guys had the interview with earlier, he said JV and Hilson, he was like, I wanted to, basically how they were going to utilize him, the system fit, the scheme fit. He talked a lot about the scheme fit, talked a lot about the culture. This young man, Kelly, was talking about it. I want to see how the coaches, you know, treat the players. I want to get from the players the coaching style of Jeff Banks, how he treated them, how they treated each other in the coaches. It is very interesting. Every player is so unique in what they're tuning into. But I think, honestly, people are upset because the Texas right now, there are no real negative ways to recruit against Texas. Like, it's just, it's really, really hard right now. Like, what do you throw out there? Give it to me. Bobby, you're in the recruiting world. Like, what do you say now? What is it?
They're too deep. Now you're saying they're too deep. I've seen it happen. Don't go there. You won't ever play. That's probably what A&M Finch is to Kelshon Johnson.
It might be.
No offense, but that's and I'm not trying to. I don't think that's wrong of opponents to do that. Just like I didn't think it was wrong if Texas said that about. So you know, this is, it's called recruiting.
Yeah,
that's what you do. Everybody has their sales pitch. That's why I don't. Why when Texas does it and somebody else does it, it's a double standard. It's okay for Oregon to show up with 10, you know, Harley Davidsons, 20 years ago at a recruiting event, but it's not okay for Texas to show up at the. It's a double standard, and I don't agree with it. And people are saying, "Oh, well, this is a reflection of NIL, and this is all a money grab." Well, that's not what it was about. People took that and ran with it as a money grab.
Because that's the perception of Texas. Texas got so much money that they're going to win any race where money gives you an advantage. And this is orange. So everybody's like, "Oh, Texas is about to buy all the players and do all this." But I'm with you. It's a lot more sophisticated, a lot more nuanced than that. But I like what you said. It's just a sales pitch, and people have said that Texas sales pitch is really good right now.
It's freaking shiny.
It's got everything. Like, same for my Oregon. Oregon's great. Oregon's got all that. They got a sugar daddy too. But Oregon still. In Oregon. You said, I mean, it's great. They got a lot going on. Great uniforms, great football, culture. They got sugar daddies. They got it all. The facilities are great, but it's still in Oregon. See, Texas got a lot going on. They got all that too, but they said Austin. It's in like, so that's why people are fearful of like what USC could be, right? Because they can do all that too, but then they're in LA. Your location now matters more than it used to. I don't think it matters as much as it used. Now it matters more because there's a Lambo dealership in Austin.
One in College Station. There's not one in Norman. There's not one in Starkville or Gainesville or Tuscaloosa or Knoxville.
Yeah, your Fortune 500 companies that are now in your city matter more than they used to now with NIL. They just do. It just so happens Austin's got a lot of them. The richest man in the world happens to live in Central Texas. I'm not saying he's going to contribute, but you get my point. It's a lot of money here, and I think people are starting to – like you said, Bobby, it's not necessarily reality, but people would think, oh, man, this is about to be an arms race, and Texas is about to just throw money at everything and win because of that. They're going to win, but they're going to be all because of the money. Some of them because of the money, but not all of them.
They just finished in the semifinals of the college football playoff this year, won the third Director's Cup in 4 years. You can say what you want, but whatever they are cooking in Austin right now, it's tasted pretty good to Longhorn fans, in my opinion. All right, a couple questions here. Shook Ones has, how's Texas looking for wide receiver Tanook Hines? Will Sark take 3 or 4 wideouts? I think that's a question that Sark's still trying to figure out, to be honest. I think he wants the right 3 or 4 wideouts. I spoke to Jerry Hamilton earlier today, who spoke to Tanook Hines following his visit. Jerry thinks that Texas, as of right now, very much in a strong position with Tanook Hines. He will visit Notre Dame, I believe, this coming weekend. There had been some crystal ball predictions for Tanook Hines to go to Notre Dame. None have come in today, though, to Notre Dame following his Texas visit. The key here for Texas is that I think Sark's recruiting him as much as a wide receiver, as an athlete, whatever he wants to be. He could be a wide receiver. He could be a safety. He's got 10.45, 100-meter speed, so that's a guy to watch for. Hey, CJ, next one I want to go to is from Michael W. Any word on how Silas Bolden has looked since getting to campus? There's been some news that he's looked good. I mean, it's only been 5 days. What are you hearing at this point?
Yeah, we got to talk to Silas at the end of May, and you know, we got the idea that this guy is coming in all business, right? And that's exactly who he was saying. He said, "This is a contract year for me. My college days are running up. I want to play ball where it's the biggest ball in the world, and that's at the University of Texas, and that's in the SEC, and this is the opportunity for me to really make a name for myself before I embark on my NFL career." Of course, he has been putting in the work. You know, it's funny, we're entering that time of the year where we start hearing some of the feedback from guys on campus. And for a guy like Silas Bolden, who wasn't here in the spring, yeah, it's a lot of folks' first time getting a look at him, and he has been surprising folks. And I don't think that's a surprise at all, right? I mean, this is a veteran in college. He's been around the block quite a while. He's an all-Pac-12 wide receiver who will look great in this setting, right? He has the speediness. He has that quickness, that first step burst, and the ability to quick twitch and change direction. So these off-season drills were, you know, I call them the Combine Olympics, basically, at this time of the year. He's built for this. So he's going to impress, and he has. He's been putting in the work the last two months since he left Oregon, and now he's ready to surprise some folks. Once the pads come on in the fall, this is a guy I expect to be on the field quite pretty often whenever things get rolling and the season gets going.
All right, this is the Sunday Night Live stream. You're listening to myself, Bobby Burton, as well as C.J. Vogel of On Texas Football and Rod Babers of On Texas Football. Rod, a former player, a friend of yours happens to be in the chat today.
Hey, Big Cat.
Easy. Used to be Randall Jason. Kool-Aid, what's up, baby? 99. Those Lambos got me fired up. This is Texas. Alfio, you know what? Rod. I gotta tell on you. I don't know if I've ever told this story. Rod Babers in high school, his nickname was Kool-Aid.
That's the truth. Yep.
Yeah. You know why? That big old smile.
It was the smile. Said I had a Kool-Aid smile. But when I got to Texas, I had to change that. Big Cat probably knows this. Kool-Aidin was a verb back then, Kool-Aidin, and it didn't mean it wasn't had a good meaning. It was a bad definition. It meant that basically you were in the friend zone all the time with the lady. You were Kool-Aidin. And they called it David. So I was like, I can't have Kool-Aidin now. So I had to get away from the Kool-Aid. But yeah, Coach Brew, even when Coach Brew reached out, see Big Cat. That's why I know somebody from like that 99 days or from Houston way back in the day. They'll hit me with that. Hey, what's up, Kool-Aid? I'm like, oh, it's been a long time. It's been a long time for that one. So hey, Big Cat, I appreciate you, man. Big Cat. Got a lot of
he had a follow-up here, Rod, for you. Can you share with everyone what Mac told us about our brand?
Individual brand or the Texas brand?
I don't know. I don't know what Alfio meant there.
No, honestly, I think Mac had a lot of lessons like that, man, about how you carry yourself. You know, earlier, so that's why I want to know we're going individual brand because Texas brand. He talked about the Texas brand a lot too, and how you can go all over the world. And there are Texas fans everywhere. And I experienced that actually when I played in Canada. I didn't think there'd be Longhorn fans up there in Hamilton, Ontario, to go watch you play for the Hamilton Tiger Cats. There were, I guess you're not, a few Longhorn fans like, hey, Rod Babers, man, glad you're up here. I'm like, what? Are you crazy? Like, Mac told that story a lot, at least talked about that. The power of the Texas brand. He often talked about how powerful it was and how powerful the network was. And Alfio knows this. And think about this. Big Cat knows this. Man, Mac would have been so great for us during the NIL era. He would have been amazing for us. Because Cat knows this. Mac would bring out the big boosters and the donors. He would bring out a lot of the folks that we should have been networking with at the time and getting to know. But he just wanted us to listen to them talk, get some words of wisdom. And then I think you can go by and like just shake his hand with no, you know, you wouldn't meet him or anything, but like you shake his hand while he's out there. Mac knew the power of networking. And truly, guys, that's the I know NIL, the money is hard to ignore. But when you get to be my age, you realize the networking and the connections that you make. And y'all know this, man. It ain't what you know. It's who you know. As you get you know, older and you get more experience, it's about who you know and those connections, relationships. And Mac, of course, big on those. Big on, you know, interacting with folks, remembering their names. That's another lesson that Mac teaches. Hey, remember, make sure you remember people's names. Look them in their eye. Tell them their name. He said they'll have a gratitude for it that you won't see otherwise. That when you say their name to them after, you know, they met you once and then, you know, meet you again later on. So Mac talked about the power of the brand, but also how the brand, the networking within the brand, the family, the BBs in the box. And if he was allowed to help us make those connections in the NIL era, and every Longhorn that played for him would have been better off, because you know Mac was all about, even when he won the national title, what did he talk about? You know, don't let this be the greatest moment of your life. Don't let this be it. You got some other stuff to do. So Mac would have been the original networker for us. And I know Sark is really great at it too, because I hear these young men talking all the time about now they can pursue, let's say, their not only their interests, but whatever their post-football career is going to be. They start now with the building blocks of that, and they can start making those connections. They say you wanted to be in real estate, or say you wanted to get into sports, to media, or you want whatever it is. Now you can actually get to know those people and work with them, as opposed to back in the day with amateurism, we could not. So yeah, man, Matt talked about the power of the brand all the time. And I think now that's the fear, right? Let's go full circle. Let's go back to why everybody's freaking out about the Lambos. I just saw my man, y'all know Doc Texas. At Doc Texas, he does a great job. You should follow if you don't, at @Doc_Texas. He tweeted out a video of what you were talking about, Bobby, about the land. There's like all these really high-end cars, high-end sports cars on the Oklahoma field in 2021. They have all the recruits out there. And they got Bentleys, and they got Ferraris, and they got Lamborghini. This is 2021. And I don't remember no blowback from that. Maybe I was out of the loop, but I don't remember blowback from that. The blowback is coming because of the fear. There is that, and if Texas is back in with NIL advantages and transfer portal advantages and a hell of a coach in Steve Sarkisian and an Arch Manning behind a Quinn Ewers, good Lord, they might be ready to make some noise. They might be ready to do some damage. So I think that's why you said, Bobby, what's the difference? There's because I think there's a fear that if Texas gets this thing rolling, that's what Mac talked about, and, you know, the BBs in a box, that once Texas gets rolling, it's hard to stop the momentum of that brand going forward, period. And Mac had it rolling in the 2000s.
Good stuff, Rod. All right. Hey, I want to go to this question next. Kenneth Cassidy, I feel like football recruiting is going really good except for defensive line. Thoughts? I don't know about that, and I don't necessarily agree. I think it's going well on the defensive line as well. They had two guys in on the interior this weekend from opposite coasts, Myron Charles from Port Charlotte, Florida, and then obviously Josiah Sharma from Folsom, California. These two guys could barely fit in this little mock car here. Look at them side by side. Look at that.
That's a tight squeeze in there, that's for sure.
Hey, I want to know, there's low riding and then there's low riding for a different reason.
they got them in that without a roof. I don't know if they're fitting in those Lamborghinis with the butterfly doors. I don't know about that one.
Hey, that's just a good point. That's a good point.
Hey, I want to give an update on both of them, though, in a little more serious talk here. So Jerry spoke with both of them post-visit. Sharma was already on his way back to California. He said he had a great visit. I think it's going to be Texas and Alabama there. Is what it's sounding like. He's got an Alabama visit to come. With Myron Charles, it's sounding like it's going to be Texas and Florida State. Texas, again, making a play for a guy in Florida against Florida State at this point. And so they've already got Brandon Brown remains committed to the Longhorns, has his visit to Texas in a couple of weeks. So I don't think there's anything right now going wrong, Kenneth, with defensive line. I actually think it's going as good or better than expected or anticipated. They just have to close the deal. Now, maybe there's a wider or a further berth, but they don't even have a wide receiver commitment yet. Everybody thinks, oh, we're doing great at wide. They don't have a wide receiver commitment yet. They're still trying to finish the deal at both positions. So I know people are worried about defensive line. That's okay. But don't feel like it's not going good, because it actually is going really well right now. They just got to finish. They got to close the deal. You agree with that, CJ?
Yeah, I do. Of any position on this Texas big board that we're looking at and maybe not feeling the best, I wouldn't say defensive line is that spot for me. I might be looking at cornerback, maybe somewhere in that secondary a little bit. Of course, Dorian Brew was supposed to be on campus this weekend. He ended up going out west to USC. There was a speculation that he was out there for a graduation in the family, although this was the weekend he was supposed to be at Texas, right? He makes it out to USC, goes to the graduation. There's not yet been a Texas rescheduling made between him and the Texas staff. There's not been confirmation there. He is right now the top in-state uncommitted cornerback in the state of Texas. Texas had made a great move for him earlier in the spring. They had taken over Ohio State for who had perceived to be the leader for him for quite a while. And, of course, getting him back on campus for the official visit was going to be a big part of this recruitment. They're still waiting to kind of hash out some of the details there for him. So that's kind of where I'm looking at in terms of if there's a spot to be worried at. I think it's still a bit too early in terms of that. But this is the month where you make all your moves, essentially. But I'm looking to see when exactly Dorian Brew does make it back to Texas for his official.
Good stuff. I think that's part of it is you gotta look at all, right? There's a rumor. We'll talk about some other stuff here later in this broadcast. But as it relates to this, I think Texas is recruiting just fine on the defensive line, great at edge, great at wide receiver, great at offensive line. I mean, look, they've got 38 more visits to go in the next 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Guys, they're just getting started, and they're almost halfway done with their recruiting class, by the way. So they're going to be fine. I think that's worrying about it is different than actually feeling like it's not going well. I actually think defensive line recruiting right now is going really well. And frankly, CJ, at cornerback, you have Caleb Chester sitting out there who Texas has been extraordinarily high on from day one.
I like him.
You know, and Rod really likes him. Long arm guy.
Yep.
Apparently had a great visit this weekend as well. Yep. So we'll see if he continues to take visits or not. I think he's scheduled to go to A&M or Baylor next. I can't remember which, but that's one of the ones that we're watching right now. All right, let's keep going. I got some more questions here for folks as we keep going. This is one for Rod. Jedi Master Bevo, with Silas Bolden and Matthew Golden returning kicks, you have over-under on TDs 3.5. That's high. Ooh,
that's really high. That's high. That is high. Yeah. I'd go under on a 3.5. I do expect, honestly, I expect Matthew Golden to have a kickoff return for a touchdown, considering how good he is. I mean, you can make the argument he's an upgrade over Keelan Robinson, and Keelan Robinson was the best kickoff returner in that draft class. That's a big part of why he got drafted, because they have the hybrid kickoff return rule now, the XFL, NFL kickoff return. So I'm going to say, I'm going two right now. I'll go one punt return and then one kicker. But I will say, if you want to go special teams touchdowns, then you got to throw in potentially block punts, stuff like that in there. And I think, because I know Jeff Banks is really aggressive, so I think you might get a block punt return for a touchdown this year. I mean, that's something we've seen under Jeff Banks too. So maybe I'll go three overall. But yeah, it's hard to get that many returns, because once you return one, hell, teams stop kicking to you. And then they start either kicking it away from you, or they start specializing certain coverages just to stop you. So if you're going to get that kickoff return, usually it comes, a little early in the season. And once you get that, teams, they're just stupid if they keep kicking to you. And I wouldn't kick to Matthew Golden from the jump, honestly. I would stay away from that guy. That guy is, he's scary on the kickoff returns. It's just a little bit of that I watched of him. And I love Silas Bolden on the punt return too, man. But Xavier Worthy was the best punt return argument in the country. I don't know if you'll get an upgrade there from Silas Bolden. I don't know if you get an upgrade in that situation.
Good stuff. We've got a couple more questions we're going to get to tonight on the Sunday night live stream. Before we do that, I want to say thank you again to our sponsor. That's Joe Brown of Southside Bank. Joe has more than three decades of experience helping more than 4,000 families finance their homes and buy investment properties. He also did my first home mortgage ever. Joe's a lifelong Longhorn fan with 2 degrees from the University of Texas and has helped many more former UT athletes, professors, and more with their real estate financing. Joe's a proud Navy veteran and is committed to serving his fellow vets with no down payment VA loans up to $2 million. Southside Bank has been based in Texas for more than 60 years, but can also do mortgage loans in many other states. Southside Bank has a new type of construction loan that allows a simple modification if rates are lower after your new home is built, which saves you the cost of refinancing. If you're self-employed, you may know that getting a mortgage can be more challenging than ever. That's why Joe's experience in lending to business owners can make the process that much smoother. Give him a call, 512-663-4744. That's right. Give him a call tomorrow if you're looking for a home, 512-663-4744. All right, guys. One of the things we mentioned that happened yesterday, according to our friend Dr. Brett Wilkinson, who follows the Director's Cup, and then he tweeted it out, and then like an hour later, the university tweeted something out saying, clinched. Congrats to Chris Del Conte and Texas Athletics on winning the Director's Cup this year. Third time in 4 years, according to Kelly underscore horns up. Guys, is this part of the jealousy that we see as well? It's not just a jealousy on football field NIL related. It's across a category of college sports in general right now. Texas is just everywhere they look, they're seeing Texas competing for championships in just about every sport. Would they end up with 15 conference championships this year out of the 21 sports they participate in? Something ridiculous like that?
Yep.
I think it's part of it, Rod. I really do. You mentioned jealousy or some other people in the chat. There's a level of that. Envy may be a big one too, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yep. But, look, if the hat fits, wear it. I ain't got no problem with that. You don't want to be all hat and no cattle.
I agree. And I also think, honestly, it almost causes internal pressure as well on the other coaches, right? That's why we talk about this Coach Pierce thing. Coach Pierce is a good coach, but when you're surrounded by all these programs that are achieving at an elite level, winning championships, and then you are a coach of a blue blood program like Texas baseball, the pressure ratchets up you more, right? Because everybody, even Sark talked about that, right? Sark talked about when they would have the end of the year kind of athletic meetings and CDC's giving props to all the coaches. Everybody's giving rounds of applause, standing up. And then he's sitting there like, man, I wish football would get some more love here. He's going to experience that now. So I also think there's a lot of pressure because of that standard that is now a really high, as it should be, right? That Director's Cup standard that Texas has. And even CDC talks about it. He expects all the programs to be top 10. That's like the base standard now. And championships is the floor. I mean, sorry, the ceiling for you.
Good stuff. Hey, this one's a more of a recruiting question, guys. And CJ, I'm going to ask you this one first, just real briefly. How interested is Texas in Keelan Chavez out of Hutto from Travis McDermott? Do you know if Texas has made contact there?
Yeah, he was on campus June 1st for the elite camp. Really talented running back. The spring was really where you started to see his recruitment pop up a little bit. Speedster as well, I believe, is a 10.7, 10.8 guy. Texas in the 2026 running back room, of course, we've talked about this at length. They currently have a commitment right now, the running back out of Aledo. They've been recruiting all over the board, Javian Osborne, KJ Edwards, a number of other running backs were on campus. Of course, you look at Xavier Crowell out of Alabama as well. He's in the 27 class, but I mean, Tre'Darrion Ball, KJ Edwards, Isaiah Young, a number of guys in that group in the 26 class already kind of more established in that relationship with Texas. I think he's a developmental piece. We'll see if an offer is extended down the road, but Texas certainly further along in a number of other guys right now in 26 running back.
All right, and then this one, CJ, where does Texas stand with DK Moore, DeCorian Moore, the wide receiver out of Duncanville, after his visit to LSU this weekend, where reports were, okay, LSU's now back in it. Surprise, surprise. Thanks for the question, Cisco Diaz. CJ, your thoughts.
Yeah, of course, this is another one of those themes that we'll see in recruiting. You know, you come off of an official visit, things are always going to be very high, and sunshine will be shining a little bit brighter after those visits, right? LSU made a good impression once again here. Of course, he did back off of that pledge a couple months ago. It felt like Texas was pole vaulted immediately up to the front of that room for DeCorian Moore. obviously his official visit coming up later this month is going to be very important when he comes in next week. So the big question is, how much of help did LSU get this weekend? Did it get him back into that talking point with Texas? Right now, I don't think so, but it certainly did give him something to think about coming back home.
Good stuff there, CJ. All right, Gerard, I'm going to go to you with this next one from Justin Yarbrough. Justin, thanks for the question. Here we are. Where does the defense need to be with sacks and interceptions this season? I feel like they were so close this year on sacks, but just didn't get the quarterback to the ground. So much better than they were 2 years ago.
Texas is
still need to take another step there.
Yes.
But INTs, I don't feel like they got there either. What are your thoughts there?
Yeah, the sacks thing is interesting because Texas is really great at creating pressure. They're actually one of the top teams in the country last 2 years at creating pressure, been more interior pressure because of your war daddies you had inside. So the pressure this year is going to come from the edges. The hope, and just a hope, is that that'll lead to more splash plays, more negative plays for the offense, tackles for loss and sacks. That is edge pressure as opposed to the interior pressure. That's so, but you're definitely right. I said this on an earlier live stream. Texas just needs more havoc plays overall. They just need a more havoc, the havoc rates overall. And havoc plays are just basically big splash plays by the defense. We're talking about interceptions, PBUs, tackles for loss, sacks, forced fumbles, fumble recoveries, any splash play like that for the defense. And overall, Texas defense is sound, but they don't make enough of those havoc plays. Jalen Ford was great at making them. I happen to think my theory is that you need havoc-minded players. You need certain – call them ball hawks. Everybody's got a different name for them. But you need guys who think ball first. I think Malik Muhammad's one of those guys. I think that, honestly, Anthony Hill can be one of those guys that ends up having a lot of havoc plays. He can move them around, and he's a disruptor defensively. You need more guys who will be able to make those type of splash plays. I'm hoping Jade Barron makes those plays. In terms of getting your hands on a football, interceptions, not so much, but he's been a great defender at getting tackles for loss, like forced run defender, getting tackles for loss, and getting his hands on the ball, getting PBUs. But interceptions, I think that's more about having players on the back end, and maybe Makuba's like this, hopefully Derek Williams, that they are ball-oriented. They think ball first. I know this because I thought man first when I played. I didn't go after the ball. As you guys know, I had bad – my hands weren't great. So me going after the ball wasn't always a wise decision. So I would play man first. I would play through the man to the ball. And that's how I made a lot of my plays. That's why I'm top five all the time in PBUs. I play through the man to the ball. But you want guys to get their hands on the ball, you need guys who will go ball first. When the ball's in the air, they believe they have a right to it. That's Nasty Nate. That's Nathan Basher. I played with that guy. He has a right. He believed he had a right to the football when it was thrown in the air. I play differently. I believe you got to recruit those kind of players. I don't believe you can teach that. Malik Muhammad, that's just the way he was programmed as a player. All right, there's just some guys who are programmed in that way to think ball first all the time. And I think getting more of those defenders on the field, that's what you got to do, or recruiting more of those types of players. And I think that's what they're doing, period. I think that's where they're going. But I think ultimately, like Jalen Ford ended up being one of those guys too. Derrick Johnson, I played with another one of those guys. He's a havoc-minded defender. I mean, this dude, when he came to Texas, I'll tell you the story real quick, we'll be done with it. When he came to Texas, proving my point, he came to Texas. Y'all remember the little tomahawk like punch that he used to do, where he would wrap up a defender with one arm and then punch the ball out with the other one? He came to Texas doing that, guys. Carl Boris didn't teach him that. He came to Texas. He did that move in practice, and then the coach said, "Hey, guys, turn that into a drill. Do that. Everybody copy that freshman and do that more." That's natural. Nobody's coaching. Now, you retaught it afterwards, but think about it. To have that kind of comfort level as a young player, he's going after the ball. He's a ball-minded defender. So Quandre Diggs, right? Ball, havoc-minded defender. Get more of those guys. There are certain things you gotta recruit what you can't coach. You can't coach coverage. I don't think you can coach pass rush. I think guys naturally really gifted pass rusher. You can teach the techniques, but some guys just really gifted natural. What did Sark say? Best pass rusher last year was what? Anthony Hill. Him and Byron Murphy. Come on, guys. They taught Anthony Hill that in the spring? No, he just came in. Knows how to get off the edge. Colin Simmons probably one of your best pass rushers right now. Coming off the edge. Trey Moore is probably he's probably your best naturally gifted pass rusher. And I think another thing you cannot teach is ball hawk ability. I don't even know if I said it. You know what I mean? That kind of ability, right? To be havoc-minded like that. I played with enough guys. I know some guys, they were programmed. Dre Bly, programmed like that. They just believe that they have a right to the football. You got to bring in more. You can bring in Rod Bees, too. I'm a technician. I was good. But I'm playing through the man to the ball because I'm not trying to get beat going after the ball. And then my guy catching, and everybody's, y'all mad at me like y'all mad at Blake Gideon these days. Yeah, man, Rod Bees doing. So I'm not, no, I played the safe way, upfield shoulder, through the man to the ball. And that's how I played. And honestly, you could say Robbie cost himself some picks that way. I did, but you could argue that I dropped a lot of interceptions too. And if I went after those balls and misjudged it because I got bad eye coordination and tipped it up and a guy caught it or a guy caught it, I probably would have been benched, probably wouldn't have been drafted, and y'all, and I wouldn't be on this channel right now. So my point is, I played the way I played that I was comfortable with, and I think that's how most players are. You have to recruit the guys that are programmed to be havoc minded.
Well, I think you are talking about another thing too. Do what you're best at and accentuate that.
Amen, brother. Nathan
Basher was, to your point, a guy that thought the ball was a tremendous punt returner, by the way, too.
Exactly.
But the point being, do what you do best and accentuate that. But don't expect a guy that is not a guy that intercepts passes in high school to necessarily go be that guy in college. It doesn't work that way. Another thing that you mentioned there about the edges, I want to bring this up from Syracuse Horn. We don't have much more time here, but I did want to bring this up. We have to play the new guys at edge on passing downs. You mentioned Trey Moore. We know what the returners can do, both Ethan Burke and Baron Sorrell, even Justice Finkley, and that wasn't good enough in my opinion. Now, Burke, I thought, actually showed some signs. Sorrell is a true strong side defensive end. There's nothing wrong with that. I mean, I don't – So, but to his point, and I think what he's getting at here is passing downs, whether it's Colin Simmons, Trey Moore, even potentially Colton Vosick, we need to see something a little bit different out of Texas from an alignment standpoint or substitution standpoint.
Definitely. And I'm looking at sack numbers now. My personal challenge for this Texas pass rush team, average 3 sacks a game. If you average 3 sacks a game, that's a tall task, I understand, but you're going to play some UTSAs, some ULMs. You'll boost those numbers there. By the end of the year, if you're averaging 3 sacks a game, you have an elite pass rush. There were only 11 schools last year that averaged over 3 sacks a game, and I'm looking at them now. Florida State, number 5 in the country. Alabama, a team that made it to the college football playoff. Penn State, top 10. Texas A&M, they had a great front. UCLA, another team with probably the best front 7 in all of football that no one gave love to a year ago. If Texas is able to get into that kind of realm, that's going to help the back end very, very much. And again, that's a very important spot. Texas last year, only one sack a game over the last 3 games. They didn't have a sack against Washington. A great offensive line, obviously, but we saw what that did to the secondary as well. If you're able to get that rotation going where your guys aren't necessarily burnt out by the fourth quarter because of how deep that room is, you'll be able to get some pressure on the quarterbacks at times you normally would not have been able to in situations you normally would not have been able to. More times than not, the more important parts of the game, later in the game, the fourth quarter, when plays are more valuable at the time. So 3 sacks a game, that's the number for me. If you're in that area, even in the high 2.8s, 2.9s, you're having a very good pass rush, and your defense as a whole should be reaping the rewards of getting pressure on the quarterback.
Let me add one thing, too, for Syracuse Horn, because I agree. I agree with him, actually, about the newer pass rush, the guys he just added, because I think Trey Moore – even a young Colin Simmons thrown in that mix too can be impact pass rushers on passing downs. NASCAR package. Been talking about it for a while. They have to have one this year. I'm sure Johnny Nance has already got one that he's working on. But when they get up on a team, multiple scores like they did last year, like Sark does every damn year, right? Sark, that's what his teams do well. They can get up on a team. They go on a run like an NBA team, like an old Golden State Warriors. They'll go on a run and get a 2-3 score lead on you. Problem is, got to hold on to that like they did last year, right? So once you get that lead for Sark, and that's what he's talking about, complementary football, you want to be able to apply pressure on teams when they have to abandon the run and just throw the football. Problem happened last year, your pass defense was so bad that teams would abandon the run and they were to catch up to you because Texas couldn't make any plays. They couldn't get those sacks on predictable passing downs. NASCAR package. Put your best pass rushers on the field. Find out who they are. and just when you get up, not every passing down, but when you get up big, when you're up two scores on a team, that's when you put your NASCAR package in on those passing downs and let them just get after. I think that'll help Texas too. And that NASCAR, for those who don't know, you're just basically putting in mostly edge rushers. You may have one D tackle in there. It would probably be Alfred Collins if I was doing it. And then rest of that D line is going to be edge rushers. We throw, you know, Moore in there. We throw, you know, maybe it's a young Simmons in there. You throw in there. Maybe Vosick ends up being one of your better pass rushers, whoever it is. But you are D ends plus Alfred Collins. That's your NASCAR package.
Good stuff, Rod. CJ, I was over there a couple weeks ago. This is from Todd Lacey. Has construction started on the new football indoor? Hadn't heard anything about it. I was over near Newhouse and that stuff. They had not started as of 2 weeks ago. I don't know if there's been anything new break ground over there in the last couple weeks. You and Jerry were over there this weekend. Anything new?
No, nothing new. Of course, you're going to have to bulldoze a building, get the land cleared out, and again start building then. So still a bit of ways away for that. They haven't blocked off any of the roads or anything for construction there. There is, however, work being done to DKR, and that's in the form of a brand new video board going up in the south end zone. Maybe a bit of surprise. Of course, that's a relatively new part of the stadium, but they are redoing the video board in the south end zone. I believe they're trying to make it connect with the two side panels where previously it was the Earl Campbell and Ricky Williams banners that were draped down over there. But right now there is not a video board at DKR. They'll be getting that one done during the summer months, during summer conditioning. I believe they're also revamping some of the other video boards, whether it be like the little banners on the facades of the upper decks and all that as well. So a little bit of some touch-ups and tune-ups before we enter the SEC.
But they have not broken ground, I don't think, on the indoor, the new indoor. They did the camp this weekend, for example, that you attended, CJ, or were at inside the bubble at Denny's, right?
Correct.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Okay. All right. Hey, a couple more questions, and I'm gonna finish it out from here. Rod, who is your starting secondary as of right now?
Malik Muhammad, obviously, at corner. Derek Williams at safety. I'd probably have Makuba at safety, too, man. Jade Barron, my starting. And then another corner, right? Who's at that other corner? Gavin Holmes or Javion Cole? Or do I like Jade Barron enough to throw him out at corner? Or I like Jalen Gilboa enough, I should say, to put him at the star and then put Jade Barron out at corner? Like, that's what I wonder. Like, who's your best five? Is it Javion Cole out there? Because right now, between Gavin Holmes and Javion Cole, because I haven't watched Javion Cole here in Texas, I've seen a little bit of Gavin Holmes. You know, I like Javion Cole. This is what we just talking about, Ball Hawk. Javion Cole's one of them dudes. He's been doing it since high school. He does it every level he's at. He gets his hands on the football. Guy's got it naturally. It's crazy. Right now, I'm torn. I'm about 50-50 on Cole and Gavin Holmes, but right now, I think Cole may, see how he comes in, he might have a slight edge for me right now. He's a mystery box. You know what I mean? I know what I got in Gavin Holmes. I want the mystery box right now. Maybe Cole's my mystery box. So, I think that's the weakness, obviously, in that secondary. We don't know what's going to happen at that other corner. My hope is that, you know, Gavin Holmes, with the experience, it's a really good competition between him and they rotate those guys. And I know they're going to rotate all those guys anyway. But the one I have the most confidence in right now, man, it might be Cole over Holmes, honestly.
Interesting. And not barely kicked out the corner. Like, I don't think Barron's, like, the whole thing with Jade Barron, I think he's definitely a nickel or a safety, not a nickel or a corner. Would you agree with me on that or not?
I think he nickel and safety are, I think, his ideal spots. I haven't talked about it. I'd play him at safety. He wants to play corner, I believe.
Right.
I believe he wants to play some corner. Because at the NFL level, I'm sure his people have told him, hey, corners get drafted. They draft safeties. And even nickelbacks, you get drafted a little bit later. Corner is that premium position. It all depends on what he runs, man. They're really, even still to this day, I mean, Quandre Diggs didn't run a really fast time, but if you're going to play corner, they believe you got to run a certain 40 time to keep up with all the freakishly fast wide receivers. I'm not sure how straight. You all remember what Jade Barron ran coming out of high school?
He ran a 10-8 coming out of high school. The problem has been, since he's been at Texas last year, the first toe thing is really – made him look slower than he is at times. Now he reacts to the ball quickly.
Yes.
Because to your point, Rod, you always use the term football investigator, but his, I mean, his toes, I mean, came off the bench against Houston. They weren't even going to play him because you know what I mean? So we'll see where that goes, but I think it's a good question and a fair one.
Here's a good question
that we'll be tracking. Yeah. The rest of the way. Thanks for that. Thank you very much, Jedi Master Bevo, for that question. Hey, I want to finish tonight talking a little recruiting. So I say that because our friend Jerry Hamilton is not here to talk for himself. He is on his way back home after spending, I guess, 10 hours at the Austin airport today. Some of that with our CJ Vogel here on this live stream. Guys, Jerry put in a high. For those unfamiliar with what that means, on Texas Football message board, go to ontexasfootball.com. Anytime Jerry puts in a high, that means it's a commitment. Mm-hmm. And take it for what you want. We're not giving any hints. We're not saying anything more. Just suffice to say the Longhorns feeling pretty good right now as well. Before I finish, I want to say thanks to a couple of other super chats. One of them from KD35, I am the best. So curious knowing Aggies and LSU. Do you expect Texas to push harder this cycle on maybe having a larger pool party last week of July to try closing?
Wow.
I don't know that they're going to – I don't think July is in the cards this year. I think it's a quiet month, isn't it, CJ? Is that correct?
Yeah, I believe so. And I also want to say by the end of July, you should probably see a number of these big-time targets having made their decision or right on the precipice of announcing where they will be going to school at the next level. Of course, that July 27th, 29th that we've seen the last few years, by then I wouldn't expect there to be many, at least of the 38 guys coming in the next week, many of those guys to still be uncommitted. So one guy I have heard who will be making a return to Texas A&M will be Michael Fasusi at the end of July or the early August period around then. So we'll keep an eye on him, of course. His official visit coming up is going to be very important for the Longhorns as well. He'll come in June 21st through 23rd.
Got it. Also want to say thanks to UT Boy for his chat here. Yay. I don't know what the possibility is here. I don't want to know what you're talking about for sure because I wasn't being able to follow along the chat while talking, but make sure you put that in tomorrow morning while you're fishing out in Emerald Bay, my man. Have a good time. All right. Again, a high is a commitment, but we got to be let that player make that announcement on their own time frame. We don't do that. Let the kids have their own fun. All right. I want to say thanks again to Rod Baber, CJ Vogel. Want to say thank you to Joe Brown, the veteran mortgage pro over at Southside Bank. And we want to say thank you to all of you. Earlier today, we went over 50,000 subscribers on the YouTube channel here at On Texas Football. A lot of labor of love here for a lot of people. We appreciate you guys very, very much. And thank y'all for listening. And hopefully the Longhorn football team puts us over 100,000 this year.
Yes, sir. I'm ready
for that because that's what it's all about here. Yes, you guys take care. Have a good night. Have a good week. We'll see you in the morning on Coffee and Football. For CJ and Rod, I'm Bobby. Hook 'em, guys.
Hook 'em on.
Hook 'em. Have a good evening.